Hi. Thanks for coming. Those of you with no spirituality, thank you for coming to hang out with the media for an hour. And thank JD for putting me opposite him. I think that was a little subtle. My name is Paul Boutin. I am a freelance writer. To keep it short, what am I working on right now? I write for Slate. I've got a piece in the New York Times this week. I write for Wired. You might see, I'm working on a thing about wireless with some of our anarchist criminal parasites here. But I haven't got my t-shirt yet. JD came to me and said, we have a situation a lot of people talk about where we don't spend a lot of time in the dance community thinking about the media or the press or public relations or speaking out or giving interviews, and yet then we find we go and get this media coverage we didn't ask for and we don't like because it often seems really off balance, incorrect, inaccurate, and often focuses on what may be the criminal element or the perceived criminal element of what we do. Why is that? What can we do about it? So what I thought I would do is bring someone who could help you understand why that is and someone who can help you understand what to do about it. To my left here is Joyce Slayton, a freelance writer and reporter. Well, I know her from my Wired News days, but she also appears in SF Gate these days, mostly.
You did woohoo!
I'm going to clap for you.
Thank you.
Joyce did a recent piece where she actually talked to people who admitted that they maybe didn't know everything they were understand what they were writing about back during the dot-com boom. And
hey, why don't you answer that phone? Someone? Okay. It's not distracting at all.
We're reporters. We're like this. To my right is Jim Graham, also known as Ron John, who is very much in a lot of ways the point man for Maid Marian's media team for Burning Man and has been a reporter and a PR person for a total of
20... more than 20 years. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, I'm glad you could come here. I want to thank Burning Man people for giving you the okay to speak for the group here, too, which is something we'll be getting to.
Yeah.
I was expecting people would be sitting closer, and I thought I would be standing. And so here we are with the lights. Let me ask.
It's very flattering. So.
And a basic question. Why are you here? I'm assuming that people are here because there's something they want to understand, there's something they're not comfortable with, there's something they've dealt with that they would like to deal with better. I'd like to specifically, those of you who have seen media coverage you're not happy with or didn't like about the dance community, I'm really looking for some specific examples here. Now, JD had a whole bunch of them. He's in the other room. Susie. Why is that? What's in there? Like what? Drugs. Thank you. Thank you. I was going to walk up here and say, I'm Paul Boutin. I'm here to talk about drugs because that's inevitably what we get here. I mean, there is a basic meme that has been propagated, if not by, certainly through the news media, which is raves equals drugs equals problem. And that problem becomes everybody else's problem because it leads to local police being pressured to shut you down. It leads to stigmatization of what you do so that you don't even want to tell people about it. It leads to people not coming and finding out what it's really about because they've heard it's just a drug party. Or maybe people coming because they expect just a drug party and they're maybe not who you wanted. So what I thought I would do is just let you think about, while these people talk, what kind of press coverage would you like? And at the same time, think about, are you sure that you want any at all? Because my favorite line from a party someone said to me was, man, this should be like a Wired cover story on the underground scene. And my thought was, If it's on the front of a magazine by the largest independent magazine producer in the world, how underground is it? So I'm going to let Joyce talk about how stories get assigned, how they get written, how they get reported, and why you get what you get.
You know, it's funny, Paul, that you just said, you know, think about why you want press coverage, if at all. I can't imagine why the dance scene would want any press coverage. I mean, what would it bring you? You have plenty of participants already. You're not trying to get money. You're not trying to spread some political view. You know, why bother getting any coverage at all? Something that you have to remember about journalism and journalists, for better or for worse, the state of journalism today in America, people read about controversy. They want to know about controversy. That's what sells papers and magazines. A happy story about, yay, we're all having fun at a dance party, as great as it is not going to sell any newspapers anywhere, and no one's going to read it. You guys wouldn't read it. Or you might, I don't know. Depends on if you're in it or not. So essentially, when journalists are covering a story, they want some kind of something sexy, something controversial, something that's a problem, or it could be a problem. So if you don't have a situation like that, I'm not so sure that you really want to be courting any kind of press coverage. The kind of stories that get assigned are the kind of stories where there's something controversial going on. Another thing that you want to know is, if you're going to talk to a journalist, whenever I write a story, generally after I've written it, I hear back from the person saying, you misquoted me. And I'll play my tape for them and say, no, this is what you said. And they'll say, no, well, that's not what I meant. You know, it's a difficult situation for journalists to be in because we don't know what it is you mean. We know what it is you say, and that's what we report. So if you're going to talk to a journalist, you must be really, really careful about saying what it is that you mean. And I might have wandered off the topic a little bit there.
Oh, this is great.
Okay.
Why is it that there's such a focus specifically on the busts and the drug use at dance parties? There are other controversies, surely. Why those?
Absolutely true. God, that's a really good question.
This is what I was specifically asked.
Well, I personally am a big fan of drugs, so I wouldn't want to write, you know, anything uncomplimentary about them. But
I'll play that tape for you later.
It's okay. My parents are aware. What's that? Yeah, that's exactly what I meant to say.
Is it possibly because, you know, because it's a criminal activity?
It's a criminal activity. I mean, what'll make you pop a quarter in the Chronicle box and buy a Chronicle? You know, I guess that's different for everybody. But certainly, like, a big story about a big bust of any kind will make you do it, you know? The days that they're writing about, you know, municipal bonds is not really going to get your attention. It's the kind of crime and criminals and shootouts and things like that. It's exciting, and it sells papers. So that's why it gets reported.
Yeah. Now, we weren't able to get a TV person here, and I do see a question. We will actually do questions before we go to Jim. What about television? Because
if it bleeds, it leads.
Right.
That's what they say, and it's
my
the
favorite
truth.
Anecdote. I never get to see television. I checked into a motel. I turned on the TV first time in months. There was a show called Touched by an Angel. And
we call that Touched by an Uncle.
and they went to a dance party, and they took drugs, and they got high, and they tried to drive into the sunrise off the cliff, and the angel saved the guy who was going to drive his Volkswagen off the cliff into the sunrise. I mean, is there a sort of if it bleeds, it leads equivalent to that of, like, you know, wide-eyed teenagers on E? Is it the same? Is that the equivalent to a shooting in terms of the appeal that people seem to like to watch that?
Well, sure. Nobody wants to hear a story. There's not very many movies of the week where it's like, yay, we did drugs, we had a good time, we came home, we slept in, and then, you know, went out and got a hamburger. You know, that doesn't make a particularly
always
exciting
a
story.
A
I know. There's
always
a... You know, you totally made me remember back to that.
Fly,
do you remember
right?
that? There was like a ABC special a week where they took angel dust and then they all like drove off cliffs and jumped out of windows and stuff. And nobody ever just sits around eating ice cream all night.
The after-school special, Stoned, where the guy was saying he hit his brother in the head with a paddle or something and almost drowned him because he was stoned.
Yes.
Yes, and he admitted it. I was stoned, Dad. Question, back there.
I'm Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
I would actively avoid it if I were in your community. I think that's a really good question. You know, first of all, you have to figure out why are they there. Generally, when a journalist comes into a story, they have a point of view or a story they're trying to tell in the first place. And if it's not complementary to what the story that you'd like to say tell, I maybe wouldn't say anything at all, or I'd have one person designated to speak. I know this is not a group with a lot of leaders, you know, all the different groups. But I'd have one person who was prepared to say a couple of certain things and no more. You know, if you don't want to pass off on press attention, which, you know, I kind of think you guys should. There's not, you know, there's not really anything that, there's not any reason for you to have press attention. Why would you want to talk to the press?
Well, I'm going
to
ask the reporter specific question. Why are you being approached? What is it they want? What story are they looking for? Sure. Thanks. Controversy, priest, good. See? Okay, we're going to get to that. One more question, because I do want to get Jim. I guess you were second. Sorry.
It would seem to me that you have more of a valid, being with DanceSafe, which I've actually written about before, very flatteringly, by the way, but you would have more of a reason to talk to the press than somebody who's just putting on a bunch of dances or a bunch of parties.
And that's right. We'll get to you after we talk to Jim. The question is, why is a reporter talking to you in the first place? Often they're trying to find other sides to a story, so it's not just the cops, the priest, the church, the spokesperson, or so forth, the person who claims some horrible thing happened to them. And one of the reasons they get on your case and push people and go looking for somebody who will speak is because that's their job, and that's actually what, in the larger sense, we're glad that they're doing. Now, what you know, your concern is when they go and end up with the wrong person. That can be better or worse than no person. You do sometimes have the option, if they're looking for you specifically because you're involved in something, to say, no comment. I was laid off from a place. I had a reporter from the New York Post looking for dirt on my boss, right? You know, and I just said, love your magazine, don't want to talk to you. And he said, you know, Boutin declined to comment. And people talking to me about, they said, you know, whereas when Ari Fleischer says no comment, it looks like bullshit. They're like, wow, you look like a mensch for not sitting there gossiping about your boss, you know? So a lot of you people are more savvy than I expected already. Jim has been dealing with, really, people like you're going to give away Jim's show here, right? Jim has done this whole thing for Burning Man for how many years now?
Four is the head of media operations.
And it's like MTV, CNN.
Playboy, Sex TV.
Penthouse,
you name it.
Right.
Penthouse was a good one, though. Penthouse, Playboy, bad. Penthouse, good. And I can explain that to you.
And unless I'm wrong, Jim, it's probably really difficult to get people to cover things other than, wow, there's a bunch of naked people doing drugs and having sex in the desert.
Actually, it's not as hard as you would think, and it'll address, when we talk about it, I can address some of those issues that we're discussing here.
So what I asked Jim to do was, can we prepare a cheat sheet for people to take away with, like, here's, like, media training 101 for the dance community. Yeah. Go ahead,
so
Jim.
If you can humor me for a couple of minutes, but I do want to, I'm going to counter something that Joyce said, but though I respect her imminently as a reporter, and I'll probably be calling her next week at Pitch It a Story.
Open marketplace of ideas, Jim.
Excellent. I would really recommend that, I'm going to call it the electronic dance community, because I'm going to recommend not calling it the rave community. What I've seen in looking at this community so far is the term rave has so much baggage attached to it that it's like any time you say, I'm in the rave community, you're automatically at a disadvantage when you're talking to someone because rave, drugs, problem. As a PR person, and let me say something else here. I'm not speaking as a Burning Man representative. It just so happens I'm the media team operations manager, but my comments to you today are kind of separate from that, more as a PR person. Just so you know, as I'm speaking, who I'm officially speaking for or not speaking for. Let me go back.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. But let me talk about that for a minute. I think rave has so much baggage attached to it that to be identified as speaking for the rave community is not necessarily a good thing. If you say you're part of the electronic dance community, you're just bringing a new word for the same thing, but it makes a little bit of a difference. But in terms of a discussion that we talked about, that was talked about earlier, if you sat in on some of the earlier sessions, a lot of the collectives here have said we don't have a leader, so we don't really have someone who speaks for us. What I encourage the groups to talk about is find a spokesperson. The spokesperson doesn't necessarily have to be the leader. It's just a person designated by the group to take a phone call from a reporter and have some statements at hand that they can address when the reporter calls. No comment, I'm speaking now as having been a reporter, is about the worst thing you can say. When a reporter calls you, you've got to view it as an opportunity for you to advocate what your position is on something. And you guys are under attack right now, no matter how strong, whatever you believe. There is not one but two bills on the Senate floor right now, S-22 and S-226, which is basically the revived RAVE Act. And what basically the politicians have done since last year is buy off the big promoters like Madison Square Garden and such, so they're not going to oppose it. So it's going to be easier for them to push these through. After we get through with whatever happens in Iraq, Congress is going to go back to everything else there, and one of the big things is they're going to go after drugs. Reporters are going to start writing about this, and they're going to be looking for people on your side to talk to.
And one of the reasons that I actually asked you guys about who speaks for the group is that you've got to understand clearly that you talked about how the leader's speaking. Well, what about the newbie who's been there a week and is all excited, may even be high? Oh, you know, our group, blah, 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 and that's what comes out in the paper, or that's who gets on TV. You can't, it's too late. You can't go say, hey, he or she doesn't speak for us, and, you know, it's too late. That is going to be on Google forever. And, you know, the famous, was it 90 drug admissions to the hospital at Burning Man, right?
300.
A day. Right. Too late. It's up. That's it. So,
yeah, exactly. All right, and that 300-a-day thing was a perfect example of something that went wrong. An Associated Press reporter talked to a medical person who the medical person actually said, we have 300 dehydration cases a day. The AP reporter misunderstood that and thought every dehydration was a result of drugs and basically wrote that the medical tent was dealing with 300 drug cases a day. That killed Burning Man for 3 years. It took us 3 years to recover from that, to explain to everybody what had really happened. And when the reporter realized the mistake he'd made, he felt very bad about it. But the horse, you know, was out of the barn at that point. But let me hop to my notes here and stick with me for a couple of minutes on this. I can just say some quick points about things to think about when you go back to your communities and when this media attention starts to focus on you. The first thing I'm going to say is you need three things. Number one is you need a spokesperson. It doesn't have to be the leader, like I said, but you've got to have someone that a reporter can go to, spend 10 minutes on the phone to talk to. The second thing you need is something to say. And in the PR term, we call that your key messages. And key messages are very short, one or two sentences. They get your point across. And the third thing is you've got to know who to tell it to. And that's people like Joyce. That's the police reporter. That's the city council reporter who just got back from listening to the district attorney talk about how he's going to go out and bust raves because there's all these drugs out here. You've got to know who that reporter is, and you've got to let that reporter know who you are so when they want the other side of the story, they're going to call you. Now, let me drill down for just 1 second on each of these things. When I talk about a spokesperson you've got to have, the spokesperson has to be articulate, they have to know the issues, and they have to be able to get those key messages across real straightforward. It doesn't help if they look respectable. And I don't mean any disrespect to anybody here, but if you look like a candy raver, that's the impression that somebody who's watching you on TV is going to get. So you want someone, you know, clean cut and can speak clearly. That's related to number one, which is the person. Number two, you need something to say. And based on where you guys are, or where the electronic dance community is, in terms of having been attacked for the last 10 years by your opponents, you're starting from a deficit, but you can overcome that deficit. In PR terms, the first thing you want to do is neutralize your opponent's arguments. So if you've got a DA out there who's saying ecstasy drills holes in people's brains, you've got to have a message that's going to knock that out and just make it look ridiculous if they use it again. And typically what they found in relation to that was that it was dumb, it was a made-up fact. So you come up with a statement that says something to ameliorate that. I'm going to give you some examples here of what I've got. I just wrote them some things out here. Those statistics have been debunked again and again, and still those people continue to use them. It makes me question what their real agenda is. Bam, you've knocked out their argument right there. And that reporter is going to walk away going, yeah, what is their real agenda if they keep feeding me fake facts?
That's a kick-ass answer. That's such a great answer.
Thank you. Here's another one, and I'm gonna rag on Oakland here because they so tanked on the Super Bowl. Let's see. You know, considering Oakland's record high murder rate, you would think the chief of police would focus his resources on combating something much more important than busting a rave.
Burn.
Thank you. So, okay, I'm getting positive feedback here. The last one here, you can use humor. You know, they said the same thing about Elvis when he hit the scene. So anytime somebody goes after you, you go after him, something like that. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to neutralize your opponent's argument. And your opponent in this case might be a DA, it might be a chief of police, it might be Senator Grassley who, you know, reintroduced S-226. The second thing you want to do with your key messages is put yourself on an even level with your opponent. Once you've neutralized their messages, you want to show that you're a normal person and that you're contributing to the community. So some of the things I've got here is, you know, this is a tough one. We don't condone any illegal activity at our event. You have to say that and you have to mean it. If you can't say that, there's nothing that any PR person in the world could do for you. We don't condone any illegal activity at our event. The electronic dance community is so tied to drugs that you have to break that chain link. And if you can't do that, nothing else will be successful. The third thing here is you want to show diversity. Within the same group, you want to show diversity. You know, those people seem fixated on stereotyping us. Electronic music attracts people of all ages and from all walks of life. You want to show that you're normal people just like everybody else. How am I doing? You want to set yourself apart from your opponents. Once you've accomplished the first two and you've got a reporter, you know, TV or whatever, going, you know, maybe there's something here where these people aren't, you know, what I stereotype them as, then you can hit them and show what you're really doing differently. And I've already heard that talked about today, and I know it's going to happen later. And here's some things. I just threw these together. I don't know if they're the case. But it's like, you know, our coalition organizes food collection barrels at dance clubs around the city. So far this year, we've donated 5 tons of canned food to local homeless shelters. You've got to do something to show that you're contributing to the community beyond dances itself. If you want to stay within your, you know, focus inwardly, that's fine. But if you want to change your public perception, you've got to show that you're more than just music. Okay, so those are the three types of messages. I'm going to hop to a couple of other things. You need to know who to talk to. You've got to know Joyce. You've got to know Paul. You've got to know the police reporters, the city hall reporters, and the people who cover politics, because they're the ones who are going to write these stories. And you've got to let them know that you're a spokesperson for that group, so that that person has you on their Rolodex, has you on their palm, so it's like, okay, I just heard the chief of police do this. I need the other side of the story. I'm going to call da-da-da. And it's like you've got to have a cell phone, and you've got to be able to respond quickly.
Can I break in real quick?
Go.
Somebody had said before that it was an event, and someone that was talked to and quoted was an outsider. From an outsider's perspective, it's really hard to know who's the person to go to. You know, if everyone in the room is wearing approximately the same thing, you don't know who's been in the group for 7 years and who just came tonight.
So. Absolutely. And that's why you've got to you've got to let Joyce know ahead of time, or if a reporter's going to do something ahead of time, that you're the spokesperson for this. And always a cell phone, not a home phone or something like that. You got to have a cell phone that you always carry around with you, because you have to be ready to respond, because Joyce is on a deadline or Paul is on a deadline. They need an answer right then. And it could be.
I'm actually going to correct you. I'm actually not the person most people want to know.
Probably
what they.
Because yeah.
That's the thing. They go to me because they know me from parties or something.
Exactly.
Or I wrote that cool story about Apache. But, you know. You want to find who's the person the cops talk to. It's what are the beats?
You've got cops and courts. You've got city hall. You might have a legal person. In this case, you've probably got a religion writer that you're going to be dealing with. And someone who covers politics. There's about five people on any given good-sized newspaper. You've got to know their phone numbers. You've got to know their names and email addresses.
And, in fact, anybody who did a story you didn't like, that's somebody you really should think about making friends with instead of, I mean, a perfect example. Everybody's bashing on Microsoft here. Microsoft has the best PR. Wagner Edstrom, they're such pros. I wrote an article complaining about one of their products once, years ago, and I got a phone call. Hi, Paul, this is Julie from Wagner Edstrom from Microsoft. How are you doing? We liked your article. It was really well written, but you know, we were just a little disappointed because you know we'd been working with Jeff Veen, and we thought we were, you hadn't talked to us before. And what her whole point was that the next time I did a story on them, to make sure that I knew that she was the person I should go to with any gripes or so forth, so she can try to get their message or their response, or at least know what the heck I'm going to say before it comes out to 100,000 people. And that's exactly what you should be thinking about doing, is if you see a story you don't like, you see a reporter you think doesn't get it, you approach that person not as, hey, you're an idiot, you don't have 800 people email them, you know, the VM Unix file or something. You do the thing of like, hey, I'm really glad you did that story. You know, invite them someplace. Yeah, befriend them, and the next time they may go to you. You get into their Rolodex, and it's better you than somebody else.
Exactly.
It's better you than whoever your opponent is, and that's the other thing we didn't touch on because everybody seems to get it. Nobody here said the problem is the media. Our opponent is the reporters. It's the people who want to shut you down. It's the people who think what you're doing is somehow immoral. And it's the people who may even have some other agenda from portraying you. And you may not even know what it is. Maybe they just want to take over more buildings downtown. That's who you got to go to. So it's not even the cops that come up and shut you down. They're kind of doing their job. And same with the reporters. That's their job. What you want to do is figure out who's on the other side feeding them a message that goes against you so that you can counter that rather than the person delivering it.
Exactly. And I'll bet you didn't realize that one of your worst enemies right now is the Licensed Beverage Association, also known as COLBA. COLBA introduced a statement when Senator Grassley reintroduced S-226, talking about how raves give the licensed beverage industry, basically anybody who sells alcohol, a bad name because raves say they are non-alcoholic, which means that there must be something wrong with alcohol that reflects badly on these guys. What you probably don't know is that COLBA, the Coalition of Licensed Beverage Associations, is basically a paper organization that's run by a lobbying firm out of Washington, D.C. There's no membership involved in it. It looks like somebody just gave this lobbyist a bunch of money, but he got to Senator Grassley and he got his comments into the congressional record as a result of that.
And what is their goal? Why is it they're doing that? Who's behind them?
That's what you have to find out. The comment, reporters use this, and I use this on my site as well. You have to follow the money. Where's the money coming from that is in opposition to you? Who's paying for this? Because those are the people who are going to have the messages that are coming after you. And you've got to get smart on what they're saying, and you've got to be prepared to respond to that. And every reporter who talks to you is another opportunity for you to get your message out. And controversy is good. I think, we maybe go back and forth on controversy. I think controversy is good because it's an opportunity for you to advocate your position on something. And can I say one last thing?
No, you're good.
The last thing I'll say is you've got to have patience. turning around a public opinion on a whole community like this takes a long time. You have been tarred and feathered for more than 10 years, and to turn that around is going to take some time. And that's, I'll wrap it up there. I've talked enough.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Now, you prepared this handout. Do you have copies of this here?
I have a couple copies of my notes, but I can put them online if anybody wants
okay.
to.
Okay. I'm going to play 6 Degrees of Brian Bellendorf, okay? If he's got my Paul at paulboutin.com. You can Google me. I can get you copies of Jim's thing. And anybody who wants to email, or if you don't know who the reporters are, we might be able to help you find the right people now or in the future. You know, if there's and what I'm thinking, next time there's a medical emergency at one of your events, you know, that's when the reporter swoops in and you're like, you're not ready for the phone call at 4 a.m. Don't be shy. You know, I'm on my email. You know, I know Cliff. You know, go to the people you know and help, and they will help you find the people you need to talk to. Yes, I'm sorry. We stood you up before. Was that in the Weekly?
I'm sorry?
Was that in the SF Weekly? I read it, yeah.
Yeah. And so my comment is, I feel pretty confident that I'm not the only freelance type journalist doing, I do journalism, this is what I do for fun, I have a day job, you know, I do radio, that's all I'm paid. I'm actually going to be doing a radio piece about this forum today. It'll air on the first Wednesday in March at 9 a.m.
On Calix?
And something you picked up, like those alternative weeklies, that's the kind of story they like to do is, you know, forget the giant nightclub downtown. There's this secret thing you need to know about that's really cool. And they're much more likely to come up with, you know, a story that you want people to see that will bring the right people. Next question.
Wait, can I just say something? First of all, way to go, Vanessa. And second of all, you know, people act as if the media is this monolithic thing. The reason why we're here is because all of us are connected within the community. Don't assume that every reporter is not connected with you in some way. Just like Vanessa, who's a part of the community and was able to affect some positive change. Not all reporters are these separate group of people that you don't know anything about and are freaks of nature. Okay.
Oh, sure. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They want to interview someone who's taken ecstasy or just had a positive experience on ecstasy and are praising this as sort of a more positive show that's going to talk more about how that's how the drug was real.
No.
I want to hand off the pro PR man on this one.
Okay. That, exactly. What I'd recommend as a PR person on something like that is you're heading into a minefield with it. What I would recommend is say, I'd first get my message out, say, I understand what you're looking for, but we do not condone any sort of illegal activity in any of our events. I would very much recommend that you contact DanceSafe, because they're one of the leading proponents of whatever, and hand off. Where's that guy back there? I know he's back there someplace. You give him a heads up. Second thing you do is you give him a heads up that Peter Jennings is out there. DanceSafe is very sophisticated in its PR, and it can get its word out. They will help get a positive message into that Peter Jennings show. You'd also alert the community, not just yours, but as far as you could. Heads up, Peter Jennings Show is doing this. If you're contacted, here's what we're doing. And that's what I would do.
Especially on TV.
Right. Yeah. That kid who was interviewed, there was a second, the second sentence he said after I got the trust to be off, and that started the second, part of his interview was that they did show, but apparently it made it back to the Arrow maintainers and got it back to me. Was he said, yeah, I take full responsibility for what I did here. It's not the fault of anyone. This is not me thinking it was, an acceptable thing to do. This was me experimenting, and I take full responsibility. And that's the thing that he into the piece. So it's definitely a mindset.
Okay, I really would recommend, not to jump on you, but I really would recommend with that email coming through to alert everybody in your communities about it, because they'll be looking for a comment, and we're going into sweeps. Everybody's looking for something sensational. Bullshit.
And remember what we said, whoever talks is going to be the spokesperson. Mm-hmm. And that's happened with other things with me too, where, somebody spoke to a reporter without checking with the group, and then it's like, well, there's a quote, like it or not, By the way, the other thing is, send the mail to them first before you reply to the reporter. Like, heads up, I'm sending this person to you.
No, reply to the reporter.
No, he was
really,
talking about...
We'd much rather hear no than nothing.
Sending the reporter to DanceSafe, but, first I'll let Dern say, hey, I'm sending this person your way.
But it's only polite to reply. I know a lot of times I contact people and they don't want to talk to me, and that's fine. If they say no, I really don't mind. But if they don't say anything, then I'm, in a world of pain until I... Here, it's very difficult. So just say no. The nice thing to do.
Exactly. I mean, use it as an opportunity to get your point across. We don't condone illegal activity. Thank you for your inquiry. We don't condone that. I'd recommend you talk to DanceSafe.
And he didn't say drugs once. You notice that?
I will not
condone any illegal activity.
We don't condone any illegal activity. You will never hear me use that word, because that word is as value-laden as rave is. I will not use it.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like saying, I don't look at kiddie porn. You just... Avoid the word altogether. Yes, at the back.
I'm wondering if you could share some of the maybe success story, couple success stories, and a story of failure in the Burning Man organization. Just you guys have faced a similar challenge in terms of media wanting to reduce the event to a couple controversial topics. You've had some real successes in naming Burning Man to different lights, but I'd love to hear it partially
from you. Let me do. Yeah, okay. I would say that the vast majority of coverage we get at Burning Man is positive, or neutral or positive is what I'm looking for. There are always going to be a couple of stories. There was one in Gear most recently about some woman who snuck, most people being here at Burning Man are at least familiar with it, snuck into the Canadian beaver eating contest, which they have a sign outside that says no press, no media, no cameras. The woman chose to go inside anyway, undercover as a cheerleader, and wrote a story about it. And it was a dumb, sensationalist story. You know, we take our lumps. I'll use an anecdote, not related to Burning Man, but in my role as the Santa Cruz Regional Coordinator for Burning Man. I wanted to get some visibility for some local artists, so I contacted one of our alternative weeklies and said, hey, we've got some people gearing up for Burning Man, they're doing cool stuff, why don't you interview them? She says, okay, I'll do that. She'd not been to the event. She says, let me start with you as the spokesperson. So she goes, her first question to me, do you ever get naked and do you ever take drugs? And my response was, and I've only gotten naked once for a Spencer time.
In your life? How do you shower? My God.
Close, man. Only got naked once. But the thing is, I said, my response was, it's not about nudity and it's not about drugs. If, you know, so many people, when they see something that's alternative, must think alternative, it must be, you know, all this illegal stuff. It's not about that. It's about the art. I immediately, knowing who she was going to talk to, gave them a heads up. She's going to ask you about nudity. She's going to ask you about drugs. And to a person, they told this reporter, it's not about this stuff. It's about creativity. It's about the freedom to do what you want. Not a single person she interviewed agreed with her about all the drug taking, the word I don't use. Because no one would talk to her about that, she went to an anonymous source, which turned out to be the photographer she used in the story, who said, oh man, half the people out there are stoned constantly, and nudity everywhere. So she got what she was looking for. And I, upset, outed that anonymous source of hers.
That's shockingly unethical. Shockingly unethical.
Yeah, it was. It was. We couldn't believe it. On the Burning Man side, why we are successful is that we don't proactively call the New York Times and say, you have to come to Burning Man. We don't solicit publicity. But we get, last year we had 297 media outlets attend the event. You'd never know there were that many because we work extensively with them ahead of time, not to pitch them on a story or spin them, but just give them the mindset that you're a participant first and you're a reporter second. We expect you, if you come out here, to comport yourself accordingly and to respect everyone else. And they all have to buy tickets. A lot of times, you know, reporters think, hey, I'm a reporter, I'm going to get in for free. We tell them, nope, you're a participant first, you buy a ticket like everyone else and expense it. As a result of that, we see much more personal experiences that come out. And so that's why we've been successful. We always get our lumps, though.
That said, when they arrive after 7 hours on the road, we, as a volunteer, we hand them some water, we offer them a drink, and they get to hang out and talk with some cool people. And don't underestimate the value of that, you know. Hand them some water, feed them, chat them up, get on the right foot with them rather than wait for this antagonistic moment. And those of you who are engineers here are probably noticing that Jim never actually answered the question, damn it. She said, did you get naked? Did you take drugs? And it's not about nudity. It's not about drugs. You know, those marketing people are not completely stupid. See, she or he managed to end up not getting Jim to answer the question, you know, failed at getting Jim to answer the question. And the only quotes there from Jim are not what the reporter was looking for. It's the exact opposite. And so stay on message. Remember that guy in Star Wars, stay on target, stay on target. You got to remember that, stay on message. And they'll try to pull you off. I do it with people. They'll get them to tell the truth, right? Hang in there. Talk about something else. Say the same thing. Bore them. Repeat yourself. It's okay. It's really okay. And we do this, you know, the best thing about Burning Man I like is that the reporters get there and they get some water, they get some Gatorade, they get a drink, they get to talk to some, you know, the girl in the cool hat. And it really said, like this is someone who was irritable an hour ago because they don't even realize they're dehydrated already. And they end up schmoozing with everybody, and I think that's one of the reasons that Burning Man gets such good coverage is there's that PR 101 right at the start. How you doing? Nice to meet you.
And the thing is, let me just leverage on top of that. We don't suck up to the reporters who are out there. We basically, once we've, you know, got them comfortable and let them know that they've got, if they don't know anyone else out there, they can always come back to Media Mecca and just ask a question or something. But beyond that, we kick their ass out and say, go have your own experience. And come back at happy hour and let me know what you did. You'll sometimes think that PR people will coddle reporters. We don't really do that. We respect them with what they have to do. They have to come out to Burning Man and they have to work. And it's a lot of time not fun. So we help them wherever we can, and we just hope they have a good experience. But that's not spin.
Next question. Back there, you? Yes. Yep.
No, take it?
Yeah.
There's a couple of different ways you can do that. Is first off, you can talk to the reporter ahead of time. And they're very open about this.
Yeah, just ask them, what's their angle? What's the story you're writing here? They'll tell you, usually.
Who else are you talking to? Depending on the relationship you have, I could go, Joyce, who have you talked to? Or kind of what are you looking for from me at this point? Mm-hmm. And, they want to do a balanced story. And so they'll tell you as much as they can. They don't want to read it to you. But they want to do that. The second thing is for you to be smart. You got to figure out who your opponents are. If it's the DA, he's probably said things in the past, and you can search the Oakland Tribune or the Chronicle or SF Gate and find comments from these people in the past. Just do a search for Rave and the person's name. That gives you plenty of time to write your key messages down. And if you're talking to a reporter, you're usually doing it on the phone, so you just keep those in front of you, and you just say, we don't condone illegal activity. The DJ community is diverse and it's constantly reinventing itself, and we've expanded beyond just music itself to helping in the community by doing a number of different things. And with that short blurb, I neutralized the person's comment, I brought myself equal, and I differentiated myself from what that person's opinion was of the dance community.
You've also put them in a spot where they may reconsider, okay, I guess maybe I'm not just going to, it's not just a dance party. And that, assuming that you're telling the truth through a certain, reporters have good bullshit detectors. And if you're telling the truth, you can pull them away from what is just this hedonistic image. Just by finding the good things, think about it ahead of time. What is it you'd want people to know about that isn't just the people on the main floor? There's me out there, right? And I think that's probably just, what are they going to ask? What they're going to ask. Think ahead of time and think about what your answers would be. I think this handout is really good about that. If we can get that to people.
Paul just said three magic words. Which is ahead of time. If you're going to talk to the press, I encourage you before you talk to them, find out who they're writing for, find out how long of a story it is. Because you very sophisticatedly said if there's 500 words, there's only room for a couple things for you to say. Find out who else they've talked to, find out the angle of the story, and be prepared. If you find out the day before, then you can be much better prepared the next day when you talk to them.
Get their name and Google them.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Next question, blonde lady.
They said blonde. Yeah, the blonde back in the back.
Sexy blonde.
Anyway, my question is
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's an excellent question. If you didn't hear it, she says, what are the different types of press that you might be dealing with? There's some fundamentals of, number one, being prepared on your side, regardless of who it is that you're talking to. I'd say the two biggest differences are you can tell when you've got someone, a friendly, I don't mean that to in any way disparage, the person's impartiality in doing a story, but if there's someone who's involved in the community, or in my case, if they've been out to Burning Man before, once a reporter's been out to Burning Man once, puts a zap on them, and most of the time they don't come back and report again. They want to participate. But in those instances where they do, they've got a better perspective. If you've got someone who is entirely unfamiliar with your community, a conversation with a reporter is never a conversation. Everything you say is something that could end up in the paper. So you want to stick to your key messages on that. Television is one of the toughest areas and also the easiest areas once you get the hang of dealing with it. They need a sound bite. And if you've got your messages really key, that's all they're looking for. They just want you to smile, say, we don't condone illegal activity. We're doing some tremendous things in the community. Clip, done. And, you'll get your message across.
And look like you mean it on TV.
You've got to look like you mean it. Smile. It is so, most people don't think about, when you're talking to someone on the phone, if you smile, your tone, this is goofy things. If I'm smiling to Joyce on the phone, I may want to strangle her, but my voice sounds so great. Like that. You smile. Your tone is much better. You smile on TV. You look positive. Sometimes it doesn't matter what the story's about. If you look good, that's the message you get across. So it's just when you're dealing with a reporter and you don't know, talk to them a little bit. Engage them. Find out what the story is. But always keep to your key messages on what you want to say.
I actually wanted to interject something very important. usually when a reporter contacts you or does a story, that's your one chance. And the reason people don't, you know, they do a story one year and then come to Burning Man as a participant is that they're not going to get an assignment to do the exact same story a year later. Very few people have that. Often people come to me after a story has run and say, oh, maybe you do a follow-up story. Follow-up story is like centrifugal force. It does not exist. I've never heard an editor or a writer use that phrase. What that really means is, that wasn't the story I wanted. Can we try again? You can't. So when whoever comes to you, whatever the reason they're doing the story, that's going to be your chance. And that's why when we said ahead of time, don't just think about what they're going to ask, but have your answer practiced. Perfect example, somebody was on TV getting interviewed who has been running one of these things for years. Reporters just chatting away, la, 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 the cameras are rolling. Well, I understand there's a lot of drug use at your event. This is someone who has lain awake worrying about this at night, I am sure, and did not have a canned answer and went, and that's it. There you go, on TV, right? That's not what you want. What you want is, we don't condone any illegal activity at our event, you know? And you've got to practice ahead of time, and that's what we're saying here, takeaways. Figure out who's going to be the person to handle these things, or who's going to be the person to say, we don't want to talk to you, and you know, pass them to someone else. And that person has to know what they're going to say ahead of time.
And yeah, I'll jump on to the last part I'll say here, is your spokesperson doesn't necessarily have to be the leader. All that person is the person who's talking to the reporter there. What I would recommend, particularly for a group or a collective that doesn't have a leader per se, is to just vote someone, or however you do it, say, we'd like you to be the spokesperson. Here's the key messages. And it's not like that person is a leader or anything, but they're just the voice at that point for your group. And it's never miss an opportunity when a reporter calls to get your message across, even with that Jennings thing. We don't condone illegal activity. I appreciate your interest. If you want to talk to someone, I really recommend that guy in the back over there from DanceSafe. You know, and just leave it at that. And you can always be polite. Thank you very much. I appreciate your interest.
It's sort of like when JD asked me to talk about this, I brought you in, handed off to you, and I brought Joyce in, because I've never actually written for a daily print pub. One of the other things I noticed here. Yeah,
we've got a guy over there who's been raising his hand forever.
Oh, no, Fred, hi. Go ahead.
I think then's the time to go to them and use the strategy that Paul was talking about before. You know, hey, I saw the story. I thought it was well written. Don't go first thing and call the reporter an asshole or insult them, because they're not going to listen to anything else. I can promise you that. I get emails every day that called me an asshole or a bitch or whatever. So you want to go to them and you want to say, hey, I thought your story was well written, but you might have missed this point and this point. Next time, why don't you go to person X next time you're going to write a story like this?
Specifics are good. Yeah. Go ahead.
In Portland at the old Pine Street Theater, mm-hmm. there was a party of rage.
Mm-hmm.
Not called rage anymore.
Sure.
A commercial party that was run by a responsible promoter with the EMT on site. And some kid went there, took some mixture of drugs that included in DNA, and died. And this was a huge thing in Portland. It's been a big deal. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question? So can I have you expand on one piece? When you talk about the news getting beyond the story, what...
I should mention one more thing. What followed this was instantaneously the police chief and all the news media were yapping about how that crisis had killed people.
Right. Okay. Excellent. Okay, now that's the information that I would need to come to you and say, all right, it's not the it's not the reporter. The reporter is writing about what the police chief is saying. You've got to look at what that police chief is saying, number one, find out what statistics he's quoting, what he's saying, and be ready to answer those. And I don't know how the dance community is set up.
They didn't know what to do.
They didn't know what to do. Are they a collective, or is it just like kind of amorphous? All right. Okay, I don't. See, now look what he just said. He says there were reporters who are not sleazy, or promoters that are not sleazy. You just said promoters that were not sleazy. Is that correct? Okay. Okay, that's great. What you've got to do then is separate yourself. The name is sleazy promoters. You've got to separate that there are appropriate ones there. One of those goes up and says, we don't condone illegal activity of any sort at our events. It is unfortunate this happened, and we're going to be taking steps to make sure it doesn't happen in the future. That is standard crisis communications. We don't condone this. We're investigating it. We're going to take steps. Yes, and that's what all of what we've been discussing here really is that, because that's, whether you realize it or not, that's the situation you guys are in. You don't have a good public opinion. And what you, another point you made is nobody calls them raves anymore. The general public calls them raves.
Oh, I know that, but even there. Even
candy raves. Just because we're out of time here. Oh. People have more questions. I'm going to be out here. Jim is available. And I'd also say, you know, just as I went to the reporter and the PR person, find the reporters and the PR people in your community and ask them about this stuff. Maybe they'll become your go-to, your spokesperson. Maybe they'll help you. And look at all the successful, the governments, the big companies. It's true. They have these people on the side who are the message people and who are the spokespeople and who prevent other people from putting their foot in their mouth of the bad stories from happening. I'm sorry for everybody's questions I didn't get to, and thanks, everybody, for staying a little bit late here.
Thank you.